Well, solar electric systems are certainly one option if you're looking to save on bills or maybe reduce your carbon footprint. But there are some factors to consider before you invest. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us on WPR News. We're covering now what you need to know about using solar energy for your home. You know, it's the rare home renovation show where a focus on energy isn't mentioned once, at least once. We tell people to go to Focus on Energy, and here we're bringing Doug Detlaff with us right now, and he's a program consultant with Focus on Energy. Doug's been working on programs about existing homes and renewables since 2008, so he's got lots of experience. And solar panels, what we're talking about, and if you're looking to get them installed in your home or thinking about it, I hope you'll join in with your questions, or maybe you already have it installed and have a question relating to what you've got. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Doug Detlaff, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining in today.
Well, thanks for having us. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, you know, before we get into the solar details, I understand, that installing a solar electric system should not be on the top of the list when it comes to improving your home. And maybe you could talk more about that.
Yeah, solar electric or photovoltaic or PV, whatever you choose to call it, it is visible. It's exciting. It's something you can show off to friends and neighbors and relatives, but it's probably not the best choice for that initial initial energy savings. There's a lot of work that can be done on the home as far as insulation, air sealing work, heating and cooling equipment upgrades, even simple stuff, shower heads, faucets, aerators, water heater, things that are going to reduce your usage will actually help you with PV, because you're going to do two things. You're going to start saving on your bills right away. You're going to reduce your carbon footprint if that's interest to you. But also, as you're looking to size that solar array, if you can reduce your usage as much as possible, you're going to maximize the effectiveness of that array and have it do more and more of the actual consumption of your home.
That makes perfect sense, Doug. Excuse me. As we look at the systems, there are, I guess there'd be different kinds of solar electric systems for people to use.
Yeah, so the main component, of course, is the panels. That's what everybody sees. And then there's a device that's going to convert that DC power produced by the panels generally to AC. That's called an inverter, and they may be micro inverters located on the panels. It may be a single inverter located inside the home, or maybe on the structure for mounting the array. And that connects into your meter. And what happens for most people is they will use the electricity from the utility when the solar panel isn't producing at night, or maybe on a very dark day. It will use power from the panel whenever there's power being generated, and you sort of switch back and forth. If the panel's over-generating, in other words, producing more than you need, it puts it back on the grid for other people to use. And then the utility tracks all that power coming and going and trues up your bill either instantaneously or end of the year, end of quarter, depending on the utility.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do to sort of add more versatility to that solar array is add in batteries to store, so you're no longer paying back to the grid. Plus, that gives you some resilience during outages. But batteries and sizing that can add significantly to the cost of a system.
Yeah. Contractors, you know, there are some really good contractors out there, and there are some that I know there have been problems with. We've seen it in the news. How can Focus on Energy help with that, selecting a contractor?
Yeah, Focus Energy has a list of participating contractors in the program. They're versed in processing the paperwork, but, you know, it's really important to do some due diligence. I always recommend, you know, talk to friends and neighbors, especially if one of them has a system, the contractor they use, what they liked about the contractor, what they didn't like. It's important to get several quotes. And really interview these contractors like you imagine it would be interviewing for a job. You want the contractor to, you know the age of the roof, condition of the roof, age of the home, what your current electrical use is, any future plans or additions, like if you're adding an electric charger for a vehicle, if you're moving from fossil fuel to a heat pump. They want to make sure to get the name of your current electric utility so they can look up that tie-in tariff or how the utility is going to track and charge for that energy that's going back and forth. You also really want to talk to them about what you're expecting to have done, what your expectations are for the system, what your schedule is like when you expect the system to be done. And then they're going to look at the orientation and shading of the panels. You want to make sure that you're not pressured into signing a contract. If they're there and they say you have to do it right then, it's probably a good idea to walk away and go with someone else. Mm. You want to be comfortable with the contractor you're choosing. If you're interested in financing, you want to ask about financing. There are no money down systems available, but you know they're making up that no money down by adding it later on into the cost. So I don't know that there's really an advantage to that pricing of the system, but it is an option for a lot of homeowners to get into a system right away.
Yeah. Dan emailed us, is there a way to install solar panels on a sloped roof that doesn't require screwing through the roofing material?
You're always going to have to put something connecting the roof to hold those panels down. With a metal roof, you've got a standing seam that you connect to, but everything is going to be somehow attached to the roof, at least as far as I know.
Yeah, I can't think of any other way to do it. How much energy can residual or residential solar electric systems produce? I mean, assuming you've got a tight house to begin with, you've done things right before you installed it, now it's up there, or you're thinking about how many panels to put up there, what can we expect?
Yeah, as a general guideline, the solar panels are measured in kW, which is current electricity. 1 kW, which is about 3 panels, 4 by 6 feet each, they produce about a tenth of the home's electric use in a year. So if you're looking for all of your production, you're looking at a 10 to 12 kW system. Most of the ones we see are significantly less. They're a 6 or 7 kW system. And what that does is that gives you a good amount of production during the winter when maybe the solar resource isn't as great and isn't overproducing and having to sell back all that extra electricity in the summer. And you get that nice, nice blend of utility power for the reliability, and solar power for the, you know, the carbon relief and the greening. Plus, it makes it most probably the most cost-effective point.
Cal in Menominee, Michigan, has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Cal. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm Cal from Menominee on the way to Milwaukee, and I have a solar system. I've been using it for about 4 years now. I don't have it attached to the roof. If you have enough room, they can depend on the orientation. I have the panels about 100 feet from my house, and that they're in my orchard. So I had enough space for that. And, of course, when you move it away from the house, there's more costs incurred because you have to have special heavy gauge, I think it's number six maybe, cables to transfer the energy to your system. And it's great. I'm off the grid, so I don't get the benefit of paying, you know, getting any of it back to the utilities. But in the summertime, I have a generic backup that's automatically ecosystem that's set up that if it's cloudy or it rains for 2 days and I don't get enough energy, the generator will kick on automatically for a couple hours and charge up those batteries. Now, in the wintertime, it's a little more. I only have six panels right now, but I'm in the process of getting six more later this month. But what it does is it'll kick on the generator more often in wintertime with the snow and overcast. So that should alleviate most of my problems with the extra panels. So it's a great system. I mean, it's just like having, I'm off grid, like I said, it's like having a house with electricity. We leave our ceiling fans on. We have all the appliances that you normally have, washer, dryer, you name it. Solar's great. So that's all I had to say for you guys, unless you have a question for me.
Yeah, Cal, thank you for calling. Comment, Doug.
Yeah, the Cal's got a ground mount system, which is a great option for people with the room to install it, but maybe their house isn't orientated very well for production, or they've got a lot of tall trees that may create shading. And what it is you build a little structure, mount the panels to that. He's right, because of that DC power, you're looking at some pretty big cables that have to be run into the house. But again, there's some options around that too. The nice thing about a ground mount system too is if you want to expand, you aren't limited to your roof size. So like he's adding more panels on, you can do that pretty much easy once that structure's set up.
Yeah, that's really great. Cal, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate your call. And it sounds like you got a great system going there. Doug Detlaff, our guest today, program consultant with Focus on Energy, talking with him about solar today. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mailer for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mailer here with my guest, Doug Detlaff, program consultant with Focus on Energy, talking with him about solar and maybe adding it to your home, or maybe you have an experience to share as well relating to solar. Katarina emailed us wondering if you have any information or an opinion regarding solar roofing tiles or other solar roofing.
Yeah, so the solar tiles or a solar media, so it could be a number of things, that was an innovation that came out a few years ago, and it had a really good potential to change the market. Not that it would produce more electricity than a panel, but because it was integrated into a roofing material, you had the ability to apply the solar panels and include them in the cost of the roof, which when you're installing solar, you got to take a good look at what the condition of your roof is, It's no point in putting panels on a roof that's going to have to be need to be replaced in the near future. The issue is that that technology, while it's still there, hasn't come to the market like everybody had hoped. And it's only been recently that those panels have been available, or roofing material has been available. So I haven't heard a lot of feedback on how it's actually performing, how hard it was, and the costs on the systems.
Okay, so still hasn't taken big hold yet, so we don't really have the data that we'd like to have to take a look at that.
Yeah, but it's going to be exciting when it happens.
Yeah. Joni in northern Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Joni.
Yes, hi there. I just wanted to pass along a bit of personal experience that we've just been having with some solar. Our house in Iowa City, we just had solar panels installed on the roof, and we're not home because we're at our northern cabin, but we're seeing the production, which is pretty exciting. But here at our cabin, we're off the grid completely, and we did not want a whole electrified cabin, but we wanted just a couple of outlets to charge up laptops and run the vacuum. And so we got a portable solar array. It's not even an array. There are several companies out there. We used Jackery, and we have this wonderful little solar generator, they call it. It's a kind of the size of an ice chest, and it's on a rolling thing like a suitcase. And it comes with a couple of solar panels that you put in the yard and charge it up. And we've got about three outlets in it. And it's working great for us. It's just delightful.
Oh.
So a lot less expensive than a big, fully electrified cabin. We didn't want that anyway. And so we're just really pretty excited about this new solar system in both places.
That's pretty cool, Joni. A comment, Doug?
Yeah, those are great systems for camping, RVing, what you're doing there for limited amount of electrical generation. It's amazing what that small system can do for a home and a person.
Joni, thanks a lot for sharing that. I really appreciate it. I want to give Doug and Madison a chance to join in. Doug, hello.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
I'm on, I live in Stoughton, so I'm on the bottom side of a hill where the hill is to my south. And I'm wondering if there are resources in a mature neighborhood, too. What resources are there to help me understand if I'm a good candidate for solar?
Okay. So I know there are resources out there that could help Doug. Doug in Madison. Doug Detlaff, what do you think?
Yeah, so, a contractor is going to help you with something called the shading. There are some online tools. PV Watts is a website from Lawrence Berkeley National Labs that allows you to put in a home's location, put in an orientation, put the size of the panels, and see what kind of production you're going to get out of it. It also gives you an idea of, tree coverage and hills. I'm trying to think. I can't think of one specifically that does orientation or topography like that, though.
And what was the name of that source, Doug?
PV Watts.
PV Watts?
Yep.
Okay.
PV
Watts. And on the Focus on Energy, you have some basic information as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we talk a little bit about systems, what to look for, some nice links for finding contractors. We also talk about incentives available both through Focus on Energy if you're within a participating utility. And what most people are looking at is that federal tax credit, which can be 30% of the installed cost of the system.
Yeah, it's pretty attractive. Doug, yeah. Thank you. Dennis in Strum, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Oddly enough, I just flipped the switch for my solar power today.
Oh.
And, you know, I talked with about four or five contractors before I picked one, and all of them gave estimates. All of them had been able to look at shading things. Two of them actually came out to the property, and I'm now selling power to the electric company as of today.
Good for you, and you make good points. Talk to four. It's good to have, I think, Doug Dedlaff, good to have a person come out and actually look at your property rather than just doing it on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, they can pretty much tell production of a system online, but when someone's there and they're looking at the condition of the roof, they're looking at the age of the home, you know, while those panels aren't heavy, they weigh something. They're going to add load to the roof. There's some wind loading from them. You want to make sure that, you know, you're not going to damage the house by putting those panels on. You want to make sure that you're not going to have to remove the panels and re-roof in half the lifetime of the panels. So having someone come out and look is always great. Plus, I think you get a better idea of the quality of contractor when you see them in person and shake their hand.
Yeah, good points. Dennis, thank you very much. Glad to know you flipped the switch today. Billy in Watoka, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Billy.
Hi. I just wanted to call in because I joined a community solar garden quite a while ago, a couple of years ago. And so they feed me solar power, and I get a reduction in my regular electric bill from the utility. And when I asked the utility about it, I called them and talked to them, and they said, oh, we have nothing against doing that because that's going to help us reach our goals of, you know, reducing fossil fuel use and all that sort of stuff. So I just thought that people should know about community solar gardens. They aren't everywhere, but you can join one, and then you don't have to put panels on your roof or do any of that other stuff.
Yeah. Billy, thanks. Comment, Doug?
Yeah, utilities both offer an ability to buy in solar through or renewable energy through one of their resources. And if you're lucky like Billy and live near an organization or a government that has a solar garden to buy in, it makes it a nice, easy first step for solar, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate that. Janet in La Crosse. Hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. This is very interesting. I've had experience with solar electric and solar thermal. My home in Minneapolis, a two-story, three-bedroom, we put on panels for both solar electric and solar thermal. The electric was great. I also put batteries because I was caring for two senior citizens, so we never had to worry about not having electricity for their equipment for their health. The other comment, though, and so I'd say put solar electric on anybody's place where there's going to be seniors, that feel-good feeling. I had the batteries, so I had backup of knowing we were always safe was important. The solar thermal was awesome. It provided all the heat, hot water heat for my kitchens and bathrooms. And I'm now in La Crosse, and I can't find anybody interested in pursuing solar thermal. And I'm interested to know where that's going in the future. And there's a lot of money going to universities or colleges for developing things. Let's go for the heat as well in hot water. Solar thermal.
All right. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, 15 years ago when I started, or whatever it is now, solar thermal was the way to go. It was the most cost-effective renewable energy you could do. And essentially what you're doing is you're running a fluid through a solar panel. It picks up heat from the sun, brings it down to a storage tank, and then you use that, you use it to heat up water for domestic hot water or maybe space heating. What's happened in the last decade or so is the cost of solar electric has come down so much that all of those diehard solar thermal contractors have moved to electric because it's just more cost effective for the homeowners. But it is a great technology. There's, you know, like everything, there's some give and take to it.
But it can work.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely.
Doug, here we are out of time already. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody, but appreciate your time, Doug.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Doug Detlaff, program consultant with Focus on Energy. And by way of full disclosure, Focus on Energy is one of our WPR many business sponsors. Thanks for joining in today. We've got a team effort here. Our producers, Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive director, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us. Lots more in store.